you are here, and we are glad that we have the opportunity to have Vacation Bible School, and appreciate those of you that came to the meeting. That was very helpful, and thank you, Brother Tom, for running that. You know, it's kind of nice when somebody else takes charge for me. I like other people to take charge. All I have to do is show up, and I appreciate the fact that Brother Tom Rickard is a take-charge person, and that's a very helpful thing. Well, we are going to, this evening, begin our service. We are going to have Brother Chuck, wherever he is, I'm not sure. There you are. Yeah, we don't have anywhere to sit up here. I'll just sit on Brother Tom's lap, and you just come up and lead us at this time.
Where's Chuck? Just look for the shine on my head. You'll find it throughout the pews. So we're going to start this evening by singing. We'll remain seated as we turn to number 574, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Hymn number 574.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause, or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not sin the blood? Is this foul world a friend to help me on to God? In the last verse, sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word.
Amen.
Let me just mention, by way of announcements, a few announcements to remind you that we are going to be having Vacation Bible School each morning. And of course, we have these flyers. And so if you have someone in your neighborhood and you say, oh, there's a child that you forgot to give them one of these, so invite them out and try to get them. And even if they can't come tomorrow, we can get them there for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. One of the goals that we want to have is to have the parents come and be a part of our service. Wasn't it encouraging this morning to have so many of these parents came with their children? So it wasn't just that we bust them in, but these parents came, and that was a real blessing. And so we are going to, this Thursday evening, we will not be having a midweek service on Wednesday, but our midweek service will be on Thursday night, which means that Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night will be the teen time. So if you know of any teenagers that are interested in being a part of that, that would be great. And then, of course, Thursday night will be the parent service. And so we're glad that you can, if you can come. Now, one of the things that we want you to do, we want you to come. It'd be a terrible thing to have all these parents come and no one from the church was here. Can you imagine that? You know, where are these people that go to this church? So we don't want that. We want you to come and be a part of that. And so I think that's all the announcements. BBS Teen Time Refreshment. Please remember to bring in your donated items today. So if you have not brought the refreshments, please make sure you do so. All right, we are going to take an offering at this time. And fellas, we appreciate you getting the rust off, and we try this again. We hadn't done offerings in a while. Really, we've had the plates in the back, and then Well, I won't even give you all the reasons. Brother Joe, pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, it is so good to be here, Lord. And I just pray this week you're going to just bless, Lord, in a mighty way. We're going to see your work, dear God. We're going to see souls saved. Father, we just pray, dear God, that it's going to be a marvelous time this week, Lord. Just run, have everything run just beautifully, Father, and have there be no advertisements, Father, anything, Father. I just pray, God, for this offering now that it'll be used to your glory and to your will, dear God. That other souls can hear the gospel, Father. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Every bit of this offering will go to the Rickard family, so just for your information. So much, Karis. Appreciate that very much. Well, this time, before Brother Rickard comes, the Plummer Girls are going to come and sing to us.
like that. Girls, thank you. And Mom. That's right. You said the girls, and sure enough. All right, that's awesome. All right, Miss Ann, if you'll grab the piano real quick, we'll sing our scripture songs. Remember, Vacation Bible School is a lot of fun, and we always have what? We have kids, and give God more is our theme, so let's start off with that one. Are you ready? Give Him more. Ready? Here we go. And no, here we go. Man, she's fast. Give Him more, little children, give Him more. Little children, give Him more. Little children, give your best to God. The gospel plane is coming. The Akas wondered why. Nate Saint gave himself to God to show why Jesus died. Give Him more, little children, give Him more. Little children, give Him more. Little children, give your best to God. Nate's gospel plane had landed on that tearful day. Rachel and Elizabeth stayed to show the Akas the way. Give Him more, little children, give Him more. Little children, give Him more. Little children, give your best to God. Jeremiah 13:23. I don't know if you can hear that, but the stupid thing is purring at me now, okay? It also gives its name. So it's a kind of a unique animal there. Okay, so they don't tell me it's not real. Okay, here we go. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spot? Then may he also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spot? Then may he also do good that are accustomed to do evil. One more time. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may he also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Psalm 34:8, we sing three times as well. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Here we go. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. One more time. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. They're not really kids' songs, right? They're verse songs. I mean, they're awesome. And someone that had met Mr. E, who's that that met Mr. E? Yeah, okay, good. Mr. E is an awesome guy, man. He's just a cool dude. And I've known him for a long, long time. He'll say that too. He used to play the piano right here when he was singing songs in Bible school. So I didn't get to be part of that Bible school, but it was really neat. He started off doing Bible schools with our mission, with Mike Holmes and me, with Baptist Youth Mission. And then after a few years, we changed the name, and we all kind of went different ways. And Bill Smith and a few other guys were there as well. So Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here we go. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, added unto you, added unto you. And all these things shall be added unto you. Aren't you glad that God just doesn't have some people that get blessings? That God gives everybody blessings? I just think that's neat. And that's why we give. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. I get my measure cup right here. On Tuesday, I have something bigger. So this is really awesome though. Okay, here we go. No, that's just a note. That's just a note on that one. All right, that's okay. Here we go. I always get a note.
Give, 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 and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all shall be measured to you again. Second time. Give, 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 and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all shall be measured to you again. Lots of gifts. Give, 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 and it shall be given unto you. Give, 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 and it shall be. Last time. Give, 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 give. I was watching your dad. He did good that time, all right? All right. The Big Mouth song. Well, open your mouth bit wide, okay? I thought that picture was hilarious, okay? Psalm 81:10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Excuse me, adults. Time to become a kid again, all right? Here we go. Come on, you got to go back and forth a little bit. It won't hurt you, Baptist. Come on. Wait for it. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth. Open thy mouth. Open thy mouth. Wide, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth, open thy mouth, open
thy mouth,
and I will fill it. And I will fill it. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth, open thy mouth, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill. And I will fill, and I will fill it. All right, good job. All right, we've come through a different time in our country, haven't we? Six feet, please. We need to turn these spots off if you guys would for me. You can see a little bit better up there. I thought that would kind of, we never thought that Finding Nemo would be, you know, it's our own little envelope. I thought that was kind of cool. And of course, we know why there was social distancing there, because the smell, right, of the pig. But anyway, that's what we've been doing, just kind of walking around like, you know, something's wrong. And of course, there was some things wrong. But remember, it wasn't as bad as the normal flu in some cases, and other, you know, so it's mostly older people. And so I'm just saying, there's been a way too much, I think, has happened because of this. I've lost several friends, you know, but they also had other health problems. And I've lost some that didn't have any health problems. Cedro down in Texas City, he wasn't having too much trouble with anything. But he did have some past history of some things, and something happened. But I'm just saying, I don't know all that about it, but I just know that sometimes, somewhere in this thing, some of us have lost a lot of identity. Okay? And so that's just kind of an introduction. Tonight we're talking about finding your identity. And Wednesday night we'll have a book for everybody that's here that wants one. We'll have those for you. And if you can't come Wednesday night, well, you're not going to get half of the stuff that we have. So it's not much good that you have it. So tonight we have some things for you. I hope you'll maybe take some notes or something. But most of it, a lot of scriptures tonight, we'll have them on the board so you can see them really clear. And you can, we'll emphasize some things there. But identity theft is something that's all around us. Okay? I was at this lady's house. I was taking care of her for a few days while her daughter was gone. She's 87 or something like that. They got a phone call that she won the publisher's house clearing, publisher clearing house. $8.5 million. And she was ready to do anything for the $8.5 million. And within a process of a few hours, I proved to her that they were not true. Okay. Number one, they never call you on the phone, but we had to go down and buy a gift card. I went and bought a gift card. I could use that gift card. But anyway, got a gift card. It had to be the right one. And then she wanted me to take a picture of the front and back. I said, I ain't taking a picture of the front and back. Send it to you. And you can. I had a policeman there, too. He was listening to this. It was pretty funny. But I spent so much time with her. She was upset because I used so many of her minutes. I found out she was a single mom down in Jamaica, one of those little places down there. And she said, y'all are rich, you know. And I said, you're lying. You're stealing money from my mom. You know, I call her mom all the time. And so I said, you're stealing money. Anyway, I haven't got time to talk about that, but there's a lot of identity theft going on. 19 people have their identity stolen every minute. So there's things you need to know about that. Identity theft, they're basically stealing your records. They're stealing all kinds of stuff. But that's not really what we're talking about. I went to eBay, and I discovered that my account had been hacked. And this guy had been scamming people, I guess, because he was asking them to send pictures of these $5,000 rings on eBay to my account. Anyway, I talked to them. I said, I haven't been on eBay for a while, and there's like 25 messages here. Y'all need to check this guy out. Anyway, he's just after money. You know, I'm sure that's what they're after, deposits, bank. There's all kinds of things to tell you tonight, because my daughter works at a bank. And she said, I can't believe the scams that are going on, even in our town, the same type of thing. So a lot of identity theft going on, but it's all about money. But there's an identity crisis too. You look around our country, it's sad. It's really bad. And let me just give you an example. I mentioned this morning about birthing people. Cori Bush, representative from St. Louis, said you might be a bigot if you use the term woman or mother. And her budget called for $26 million to reduce maternity mortality and eliminate race-based disparities. I can't even say all this stuff, okay? But when she was asked why birthing people, this is what she said. There are, I put every that she said in that interview. Certain people who do not have gender identities that apply to male or female. So we think our language needs to be more inclusive how we deal with the complex issue. So thousands of women go into the emergency room, right? And how many of them are having problems with their birth because of someone calling them the wrong pronoun? But all aid and founding fathers and all that, trying to take that all of our language, because like I said, they control our language, they control our minds. If I can't say he to you or she to you because that's what you are, then I've got a problem. No, I haven't got a problem. I know it's very clear, and we'll be talking to the teens about that this week. But when it comes to gender identity, if they can't figure out which bathroom to use, I can figure it out. I'll tell you which one not to go into. So beware of be who you are. Almost says beware, but be who you are, and God is the one who says who you are. Okay, I love this picture because it says, complete in Him, friend of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, forgiven, ambassador of Christ. There's a lot of names that God gives us to help us with our identity, and He identifies us very clearly. But I'm afraid that so many churches and so many church people have gotten to the point that traditionally we are what the church says we are, not what we are spiritually, because it's a horizontal relationship. Now try to get that with me tonight. We're dependent on what people say about us. If someone says, y'all sang good tonight, don't just take that as record. Say, God, what do you think of what I did? Okay, because I just say, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, and that's who we're giving glory to. We're not giving glory to our talent and our abilities, even though God given to us to be used by Him. All right, so our identity, finding your identity in Christ, according to Scripture, casting down all doubt and determining with my Bible. That's why there's another picture there of who I am based on what God says. Doesn't matter what other people say. We're on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose, to be what God wants me to be. God created me with that idea in mind, okay? So tonight we're talking about finding your identity, who you are and what you're doing here, okay? Now, tonight, I want you to look at a few... Maybe look up here because we can go a lot faster. I really hate that because I really like the fact that we open the Scripture and looking at it. But you can look at it the same way up here, okay? So just keep that in mind tonight when you're looking up there. You have a little problem with that. But it's a good thing. Why was 1 John written? That we might... Your joy may be full, that God is light, there's no darkness there. If we walk in light, we have fellowship. If we don't walk in light, we don't have fellowship. The Scripture is very clear about that, that with our identity is special with God. He is faithful. If I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So we have someone we can go to. Isn't that awesome? I don't have to worry about what other people think. I can worry about what God says. You get that idea? Say, second passage, 1 John 2, 3 through 8. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. The love of God is perfected in us. Where is it perfected? In us. Okay? We know that we're in Him. We ought to walk even as He walked, because the darkness is past, the true light shineth. Okay? So we can know that God is working in our identity. We know where we're going because God shows us where to go. It's not a confusion that looking around and saying, I don't know what to do. That's all gone. Because even in as my pastor was preaching before, when I was preparing all the messages and stuff, he was saying Barnabas. He did a whole message on Barnabas. Barnabas was a godly man that even took John Mark with him when Paul wouldn't, and he walked in the Spirit. And see, that is a Christian that has this vertical relationship, not the horizontal relationship, worried about what everybody else says. But what God says is the most important. Teenagers don't have to worry about what they look like. We don't have to worry about what we think or how we feel. We just need to go by what God says. And that relationship with God makes it so nice. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. I write unto you little children. Now we got two little girls right there. And we got another little guy over there. And we have another little girl back there. Why was the Bible written to you? The Bible is written unto you, so and your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I write to you fathers, because you have known Him that which is from the beginning. There's a play on words here, because back to kids again, or young men, because you have overcome the wicked one, and then back to little children, then back to fathers, and then back to young men again. And why are the young men strong? Because they have the Word of God abiding in them, and they've overcome the wicked one. When you overcome the devil... And you're living for God, that's a wonderful thing. And you have, your life has purpose and direction. If you don't know what God's trying to do in your life, no wonder so many Christians are lost. No wonder they go to church and they go, oh, I can't stay awake, okay. Well, man, take a breath mint, get a Ludens or something. I love those because it keeps me, I can keep talking. And you know, I sometimes have the lemon heads, okay. Because I love lemon heads and they wake me up again. Because why? I'm at church and I want to learn something. All right, I'll put that back in my mouth so I don't fall asleep. All right, and then 1 John 4:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is in him. And all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, you know, all that is not what God wants for us, okay? The world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, this is the last time, and there are many antichrists. I think sometimes in our own churches, there's people that don't know anything about God, any way to live for God, even though they hear it all the time. It's true. Why? Because we are depending more on what people say to us at church than what God says about us even being there. Well, I wasn't even spoken to by the pastor today. Man, he tries to talk to everybody. If he missed you, it wasn't on purpose. He would do anything he could to talk to every person in the church today. And you all know pastor like that, okay? But the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, that's where we get all messed up. And that's where our society's all messed up. Because it all comes down to what they think, what they feel, and what other people think about them. So in our Bibles, we have those places, but let's go one more. Hebrews 11, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but were seeing them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now they desire a better country." You know, the people in Hebrews chapter 11, they weren't looking for rewards. They were saying, "I want these days on heaven, and right now I'm thinking about what's important to me and what's going on around me. It doesn't really matter. I got to pay my bills. I got to do my job. My neighbors are important. I'm going to do everything I can to try to do what God wanted for me." And it says He has prepared for them a city. See, you are not an accident. You are made on purpose. God knows you. He knows everything about you. And the most important thing is He loves you. But there's other verses we got to go through quickly, all right? Now, if I spend a lot of time on Scripture, it's because you're going to see a lot of truth in those Scriptures. And remember, we're thinking about image. The image of Christ, but also, who are you? The image that you're made, all right? "Since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, neither I have seen, what He has prepared for them that wait for Him." So God is preparing things for me. Isn't that awesome? Tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen, but today was a blessing because those girls sang for me, okay? And then that guy over there with his big mouth, you know, going, and that one back there, she just, Jessica, she just made my day because she was going with the big mouth every time she opened her mouth. That's why I did that one song, okay? But, God has prepared things for us, okay? The image of God made He man. See, our image is something that God made. That's an awesome verse there. Genesis 2:7. "Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into him, and he became a living soul." See, it wasn't by accident. And Adam goes, "Who am I?" God says, "You're Adam. Hello, wake up. This is what I did for you." He says, "Where's Eve?" We know He's looking for Eve, all right? And God made Eve. But Genesis 1 also says, "Let's make man in our image, likeness. Image of God created He them, male and female." Boy, that kind of sums it up too. Because today they don't even know what they are. I got mad at Judge Judy last night when she, or Saturday night, when she said something about having Bruce Jenner, the on the show. And that's the first time I ever complained. You know, but she, you know, it's like treating him, I don't know. But it's very clear from Scripture how God made people. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, talking about the image of God again. "Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." So a lot of people have this foreknowledge stuff all messed up. It's the fact that God knew ahead of time who would accept Him and who wouldn't, but they still had a free choice, okay? But those that He knew was going to accept Him, He was going to predestinate them to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. That's pretty awesome. He wanted to make you into God's image. And that's a wonderful thing. Isaiah 43, verse 7. "I have created him for my glory. I have formed him and I have made him." Jeremiah 1:27. "The word of God came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations." So when you were made in mama's womb down here, God knew who you were. God was making your ears just right and your nose just right and your hair just right. That smile with the dimple, all those things. God did all that for us. I love this verse. It's a song too. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Him..." I just did it really fast, okay? But it's awesome that Jesus did all that for me, and I can live in Christ and I can know who I am. The Bible says what we should do. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we should walk in newness of life. This is something that God's ordained. We know where we're going because He's telling us. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. "Lie not one to another." That's the biggest thing about all this. Everybody thinks there's something. Horizontal relationship, and you're not supposed to even be thinking about what that wicked friend is telling you. Don't worry about the lies, but it says, "Seeing we put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." So God made us where we are, and we should be walking that image of God. Wow, there's a couple more verses. Oh, trying to go fast. Romans 8:2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. That middle part again, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. James 1:27. Pure religion, undefiled before God is this. Then a man visit the widows and fatherless, but he says to keep himself unspotted from the world. So if we do what God wants us to do, we're going to be following Him and we're going to be answering to Him, and that vertical relationship we have with Him is going to take care of most of our problems of who we are. Does that make sense? Okay, I've tried to say it as fast as I could with as many verses I can, but that's the truth of the matter. Ecclesiastes, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So what is our identity? All right, so this is going to get the boring part. Okay, you ready? It's going to be like three lists. So here we go. The first thing about your identity, it's the deepest sense of who you are. All right, who am I? It's what I think I am. Okay, the story you tell about yourself, the definition that you've accepted. I'm ugly. I can't stand myself. I'm worthless. A lot of people think that. Okay, that's the image that you made of yourself, or someone else told you. All right, a little more than that. Your core trust, where you subconsciously look for meaning and validation. So I am not that bad. I am not that bad. And so you work, I mean, it's just something, your core trust, what you believe. And so you believe that, so you try to take care of that. We're going to talk about the little monster that you feed in just a minute. We all have an identity. We all want a solid identity, so we know who we are and where we're going, what we're doing. You all just got married. So it's like, what am I going to do next? Well, trust the Lord. Don't worry about all the fears and things that could come up. What if we get sick? Most of the time you guys don't get sick. You hardly ever get sick. Well, what if we had cancer? Well, I'd have insurance.
Okay, that's what my mom and dad told me.
You don't have insurance yet? I said, well, we haven't got any money for insurance, okay? But I don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of me. But at the same time, I'm going to be smart enough to realize I need to do something like that, okay? But we want a solid and truthful one. But your identity is not who you are, but who you think you are. Does that make sense? It's what you think you are. That's what concerns you the most. All right? So it's internal as well as external. Now, Pastor can't see a couple things there with my cactus. I'm going to move my cactus. Okay? So it's external, but it's also internal. What you think and what other people think about you. Does that make sense when it comes to your identity? All right, page one's done. All right, page two. Here we go. Identity. You are hardwired to need somebody to confirm who you are. Someone you value, respect. Can I say that you what your mama thinks about you is very important, and what you think about what your dad says about you is so important? You need someone like that you value. What Ann thinks about you, brother? If she says you stink or you don't look good or where's your glasses, you fat old man, or whatever, you go, I'm fat? Oh, I'll lose weight, okay? Because you want to know what she thinks. If she says, you're just right, honey, you go, oh, yes, okay, I'm just right. And all of a sudden you feel it based on what people said. But we need someone to approve of our identity, all right? If this is me, my fit, we deal with strong or weak identities. Let me explain the difference. A valid or true identity, that goes biblically, all right? You are made in the image of God. That's pretty important. Or someone says, you are ugly. See how bad that is compared to what God said? I'm purposely made by God, or I'm ugly, by some friend said. So it's either valid or vulnerable. Though the term identity is familiar, it's like breathing. Do you think about breathing? Unless you have trouble. I have a spray that I have to use once in a while. I don't usually think about breathing unless I'm having trouble. So it's something you do all the time. How many times have you taken a breath while we've been in here? It's been subconscious. You haven't thought about it, okay? And it's just like your identity. It's a involuntary function of the soul. Our subconscious, boy, this is really complicated, isn't it? Our subconscious works hard to construct and secure an identity that we believe is best. So, boy, really? Yes. You hear a comment, you hear another comment, and your identity is being formed without you even thinking about it. And you go home and you say, I've had a lousy day. Why? Because people are telling how bad you were. Or you had a great day because everybody said how good you were. You see what I'm saying? By the time your day ends, it's either been good or bad. All right? So that's like your identity. So, what is page 3? This is better because page 3 is talking about what God says. Okay? He calls it the inner being. And He desires this part of us to be strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit. Okay? This is awesome. The inner man. Okay? It also refers to the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, that inner being that we have is important to God, and God tells us, keep it close. Make sure you know what you're doing with it, all right? When this inner self is weak, how do we feel? Everybody say it with me. Frustrated, I need a comma there, anxious, fearful, defeated, and unhappy. You know what I'm saying? How many have ever felt that way? Oh my goodness, all the time I think we do. But then we also, when it's strong, how do we feel? Secure, fulfilled, valuable, purposeful, and happy, at least temporarily. Okay? When we have the strong inner self, we feel a lot better about ourselves. I think that, isn't this obvious? Okay? But we need to figure this out before we talk about identity very far. And I've only got 15 minutes, so I better keep going, alright? It is this identity that drives our emotions and then our behavior. Ed Watke, you know Ed Watke? He passed away a long time ago. An awesome evangelist. He talked about the programming mind. When I walk toward my truck, I no longer reach for my keys. Before, I'd have my keys out and ready to go in the lock before I even got there, and I didn't even remember reaching for my keys. Now I have a key fob, but now I'm thinking I got to grab that door handle before it opens. Okay, before I was ready to put the key in. Now, or I had a Ford for a while. We had to push the numbers. So my mind already had the numbers ready to go, and now I reach for the door, and it opens automatically, and I get in and push the button. And when it doesn't work, like the other day, I'm going, oh, what's going on? I have no idea what to do. And it was a battery, okay? A battery on a new truck. I don't get it. But anyway, so your identity, page 4. This is really simple. It's either what? Strong or weak. You can understand that. It motivates or demotivates. So, I get up in the morning, I'm ready to go, or, I just can't hardly get out of bed anymore. You ever feel both ways? Alright? It stabilizes or destabilizes. A strong identity results in a positive self. But a weak identity results in a negative self. I just don't believe this. I can't do this. In college, man, it's really tough. And you guys know what you just came from there. And some of the others too. And it's like, wow, I just can't handle this. Both are deceptive in some ways, okay? But the answer there is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And you know that verse, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now let's talk about the monster we feed. All right, every day we have a monster that we feed. And it's not a good thing, okay? We ask, who am I questions. Am I a good wife? Am I a good husband? There's all kinds of things that we could ask. Am I a good parent? It seems like I can't do anything right, okay? It's just useless questions. If you just follow the Lord, children obey your parents and the Lord, you're going to feel better as a kid. And if you're a parent and you say, tramp a child in the way he should go, and he shall not depart from it, and you don't have to worry about whether you're a good parent or not, just do what God told you to do. And you're going to feel better about yourself. The weakness is a process. Weakness of the processes we've developed. Past success is never enough. Past failures, we've got to have restitution and say, boy, I failed there, I got to try again. Got to try harder this time. See, it's all you trying instead of letting God work through you and you have that fulfillment of living in Christ. Penitence and reparations and reinvention to compensate for a flawed self. I'm no good, so I need to pray more Hail Marys. Some people do that. I'm no good, so I've got to help my neighbor. And some people do that all the time. They buy stuff for people. You know, they feel better when they do something for others. Okay? They're trying to compensate for a flawed self. If we build on weak things, we work hard to protect from loss. So, for instance, I don't know how many young girls I know that all of a sudden they find themselves pregnant, and boy, they work hard to defend that and protect from loss, and all of a sudden, you know what happens? It fails, it all falls apart, so what do? They go out and find another guy. And then another guy. And then another. It's just, wow, they're just protect him from loss, and we're feeding that monster instead of saying, God, what did I do wrong here? Well, it's so clear. And it's not just that. Teenagers have other major things too. And in Wheatland, there are so many unmarried couples there. And just give you an example. This one guy, him and his wife moved into the house, and within a week, she was gone. And she took the kid with her, okay? So the guy's renting the house. And they can't talk to each other. And then he moves into another house and still renting that house. And he almost burns the house down because another couple came in. He didn't pay the gas bill. And it's like no character, no future. We work hard to protect from loss. And when it fails, we just try to hide and fake it and go on with life. When we fail, Christian, we're supposed to fall on our knees before God and we say, God, I'm so sorry, I blew it here, and God, would you help me? And God lifts us up, He gives us purpose in life, and He says, let's go! Your past is gone, it's forgiven. It's so neat with God. That's why I started with 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us, and we go on. But the problem is, we don't think ahead of time, and we sin, and then we have to go over that process over again instead of going, I've been here before. Why did I do this? And we look to God, and God gives us direction. Now, this is what Pastor preaches all the time. Get in your Bible. Let God work in your heart. But it all comes down to your identity and how you feel about yourself. I am not a very good psychologist. I don't even claim to be one. But we try to rebuild with flawed ideas, and it just doesn't work. Okay? So now we're done with that, and now we just have this, hang on, it's got to work. Here we go. It's a really neat graphic, okay? Dun, 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 dun. When it comes to your identity, I mean your real identity, what do we need to do? We just need to stop trying so hard. Ta-da! Isn't that cool? It just kind of floats across the floor. But that gives the message right there, folks. We are trying too hard sometimes to be what we're not, okay? Wherever you are, just stop trying. And that's where I had that Basic Hue Conflict Seminar. We had a button, and it just said we need to look at ourselves as a work in process. But we had a button that said this. I mentioned it a few years ago in a teen message. But that button said, please be patient, God is not finished with me yet. You see, I don't have to worry about my future. When I was 12 years old, I became a teenager, and I remember, I just trusted the Lord. And some of my friends were like, no, trust the Lord. And they were just floundering, and you know what? You don't have to be that way. God said He'd help you, and God said He'd help you, work with you. So be patient. Your identity theft, don't let someone take it. Let me give Jesus as an example. He's an awesome example, don't you think? Man, you talk about gospel identity. He knew where He was from, what He was here for, where He was going, and you know what? You say, well, He's God. No, wait a minute. He was human. He went through some of the same problems you have. I'll prove that to you in just a second. But let me just think about a couple of them. His claims. He knew who He was and where He came from. And we can say the same. We're from God. God made us. God has a purpose for me. And He knew what He was here for. His teachings were very clear. His miracles proved that He was God. The prophecies that He fulfilled when He came. When we look at Jesus and we see His love, we know that's a man. That's a God. That was like what we're supposed to be. Jesus said, be perfect as I am perfect. Well, that's impossible, right? The only thing I could find, Pastor, when maybe Jesus' identity might have been a little weak, when He was really tired and really lost, kind of, it was in the Gethsemane, when He said, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But what did He say? But if you don't want that, God, I'm ready to do what you told me to do. And boy, that should be our attitude. But His disciples weren't like that. They were going through true identity crisis. His fragile followers, let me give you a couple of things about them. Fears. Did Peter have any fears? Oh, God, please! God got up and said, peace be still. It was all taken care of. All right. The failures that they had, the disappointments that they had, the false hopes. They thought Jesus was coming back to set up His kingdom. That wasn't why Jesus was here. He came to get ready for that, but that was just the first step. They didn't see it all. And most of them have trouble with their self. They didn't think they were anything. But then Mom thought, a couple of them were really special. Will my sons get to sit at the right hand of the Father? They were like, fighting for position and all that. do you talk about failures? Look at this example. Peter was a deserter, a traitor. He was confused. He was selfish, impetuous. That was the name that went with Peter, right? And a quitter. But his weak identity was kind of smashed against the rocks, and he was foundering. Like, you ever see a water so dirty that you wouldn't want to get in and swim? You can't see anything in the water? That's kind of like where Peter was. But Jesus looked at him differently. His failure was not final, as his truest and strongest identity hasn't emerged yet. Jesus took his disciples from where they were, fishermen, you know, all these different things about them, and they were weak and didn't have hardly any identity, and Jesus took them from there to be the foundation, the main leaders of the church. Peter went from being weak and nothing to be kind of like, you know, Jesus was the rock, but Peter was kind of like the main leader for so many ways. But God knew about that. Let me give you this illustration, which kind of illustrates things really cool. This pastor that gave me this illustration, he took his son. These are pictures I came up with the internet, but he took his son. He was on skis. His son was on a snowboard, and they started down the hill. And when they were down quite a ways down the hill, the dad stopped. He looked around. His son wasn't with them. And he waited. He finally took off his bindings of his skis, and man, that's a long way back up that hill. So he started, and then about that time, his son came over the hill and stopped there beside him, and he knew right away something was wrong with him. He said, "Dad, I fell." And he said, "How long have we been skiing today?" And his dad said, "How long do you think we've been skiing today? It's the first time down the hill." He said, "I don't know. We've been here 2 days." His dad knew something was going on, so he took him to the ski patrol medic shack, and then he went to the hospital, had all that examined inside, and his son was so confused. He had lost who he was. He knew who his dad was, but he didn't know if he had brothers and sisters. I mean, it was really sad. And he said, "Dad, am I going to get better? And his dad just kind of, they stopped along the road. They were going back down to California, and his dad stopped and took his head in his hands and said, "Look at me. Who am I?" And he said, "Your dad." Now, you know, if you looked at your dad, you know exactly who he is, right? "And your dad." And he said, "All right, son, you can trust me. Okay? Everything's going to be okay. Best we know, the doctor said you're okay. It's going to be a while before you can remember things. But you know who I am, and now just sit back and relax and quit worrying so much, because your brain needs to rest." And that's what God wants us to do, is to quit worrying about who we think we are and just turn to the Lord and say, "God, I don't get all of this. Man, everything falls apart here. I got a different job. I have this job. And what do you... Okay, God, I just trust you." And that's what the Christian life is dependence upon God and asking God to help us. And they drove back to California, and things were really bad for quite a while. But you know what? He told his son, "You just got to trust me. You just got to depend on me." Now, let me finish up the message. I'm not going to finish everything. I knew I wasn't going to finish everything. But I think we have a good start. And tomorrow night I'll review a little bit with the teens, and we'll go from there and go to the next step. And I don't know how many teens we'll have, but I know that every teen that's going to be there has identity problems. Okay? In fact, most of us, don't we? Am I doing my job good enough? Are they going to fire me? You know, you know what I'm saying? Okay? We're all struggling a little bit. Instead of worrying about what God says, we're worried more about what our friend says. Okay? Deficient souls in search of identity. Who or what gets to define you? So your daughters look to you for these things right now: acceptance, security, and significance. And as a parent, we give that to them. All right? But who are they going to depend on when they get older? Oh, boy, Jessica. Boy, how many times did I kind of wonder where she was going? Brother Rickard, you're getting really personal, okay? Okay, Jessica was always one of my favorites. Okay, she was always so happy. I don't know why she was always so happy, but she didn't seem like she had a care in the world. But I know she did, because, you know, every teenager has fears and struggles and stuff like that. But who you turn to for acceptance, security, and significance, we got to train our kids to turn to God for that. Because I'm going to fail them. And boy, they're going to be disappointed. But God will never disappoint them. That is so important. There's four horizontal sources for acceptance, security, and significance. You know, it's people, it's performance, it's possessions, and it's purpose. What our boss says, we just kind of jump through the roof if we don't do the right thing. We just like, can't displease the boss. If I please God, number one, my boss is going to be happy with my work because I want to pour everything I can into doing the right thing. I'm not going to be a thief. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to work hard. See what I'm saying? So that relationship is much more important than the other. And these performance and possessions, that all goes back to traditional identity. And that's what we'll talk about a little bit more. But in the book, it has a whole list of things. But let me unlock a couple more little things here, okay? I like the one with the thumbs up. Okay, that's locked. That's if we have the right identity. Traditional and modern, boy, what a mess modern identity is right now, because they have no identity. They're resisting the other, so they're fighting for it. But the gospel identity is what we're leading up to. There's a list of things here that they use to figure out where they are. But let's just stop at number 9 just for a second. Do you remember Joseph in the Bible? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was beaten up and thrown into a well. Would you say that was abuse? And he was a victim? I don't see Joseph looking at that. I think he yelled to his brother, come on, guys, get me out of here. But then when he got to Egypt, he didn't have a rotten attitude, a wrong identity. He was saying, it's going to be all right. Now, how did he get that? He didn't care what people thought around him. He cared what God thought about him. So all these different things that people use to identify things, you could go through and figure out where you are too, okay? Your generation, your age, all that stuff. All that list is in the book. But when it comes down to the world's weak identity, I'm going to finish with this. Like I mentioned Disney World this morning, it's like a fantasy world, okay? It's not real. All right. When it comes to success, if you make lots of money, everybody's going to look at your whole relatives, all your family. Brother Nate is going to say, whoa, he's come a long way. But if you don't make anything, you'll be like my in-laws and they'll go, what's wrong with you? Why don't you get a real job? Why don't you take care of your family? Well, my in-laws now think I did a great job with my family. And I keep saying it's not me, it's God. And mom has died, but dad's still alive. And, but success means everything to the world. Evolution versus God? They don't even believe there's a God. So if there's no God, who am I going to please? There is no answers. It's so sad that people live that way. But that's where the world is. Education, if you get a good education, you'll be all right. You know, sometimes it matters nothing today if you have a good education. Your master's degree, some of it doesn't even mean anything anymore. Because our education, you know, we're 45th or 6th in the world when it comes to our education. And our public school system is so great. Why are we 46th when we're supposed to be the greatest country? Because parents aren't involved? Because we're teaching some of the wrong curriculum? And, you know, there's all kinds of reasons. But I'm just saying, that's where our world is. And then career, if you don't have a career, what's wrong with you? I was talking to Brother Troy tonight, you know, and he was just kind of down in some things. But he's a great guy. And, you know, he loves the Lord and he has the ability to fix things. And, you know, if you focus on your career, you're doing wrong. You can't focus on your career. You got to focus again on what God says. And God makes all things right. We could go to mental illness and all the problems that people have today, depression. I said I wasn't going to go any further, but suicide is the second leading cause of death for Americans aged 10 to 34. And we're in a mental health crisis. In fact, suicide with gay teens is 5 times more than straight kids. It's no wonder. Well, they say they blame it on, you know, they're mistreated by other people, but you know what? They're lost. They have no identity. And because they have no identity, that depression and other things set in. A full 86% of 20 to 30-year-olds admit wrestling with depression, loneliness, disappointment, and insecurity. And God says, I am here for you. I can give you everything you need. Focus on me and just do what's right and I'll bless you. Here's the road. You do good, you're going to succeed. If you do bad, that's what he told Cain and Abel. Cain, really, and Cain chose the wrong way, and boy, it didn't end very well for him. Wow. I said, I got to stop. But there's so much stuff that kids or teens especially are facing today. And, you know, I don't think it's just teens. I think we as adults struggle with so many things. And we just need to focus on the Lord. You say, that's such a easy way out. It's such a con. No, it's not a con. I can testify that though I had nothing, God still met my needs. Going through Bible college, I mean, I could go back and show you my life, and God has helped me all the way. And I'm so glad I could testify to that. I haven't been perfect. And as your missionary, I can say, I haven't been perfect. But I'll tell you this, I work hard to try to do things for the Lord. And when I do that, it's just like He just opens doors. It's just unbelievable. The other day we had our brake fall apart in our wheel. And I always check my tires. And I'm so tired of having axles messed up. And I kick my tires. I feel them. I forgot to lick my fingers once, and I got burned really bad because the brakes were, you know, locking up. And so anyway, I heard this rattle noise, and we just stopped at the, I've been checking all day, and we stopped at a restaurant, and I just walked over to a couple guys I saw, and I said, is there a trailer place close? And he said, yeah, right down the street. And I went down there, and they fit me right in, and they replaced the brake parts. You know, what if they hadn't? There's been a few times I stand along the road for 3 or 4 hours waiting for the tow truck to come. The whole axle is messed up. And then we had to leave the trailer there for 4 or 5 days, and we took the truck and went to the next church, and we stayed with some friends. You say, well, what's the difference? Both times God provided, and God met the need, and I wasn't worried about anything. Peggy might have been a little worried. She has a tendency to be a little more worried than me. I'm just kind of stupid, you know, I don't think about everything. But she thinks about it all, and she reminds me, you know, what are we going to do? I say, well, the tow truck's going to be here pretty soon. Just stay away from the busy cars passing, you know, and we'll be fine in just a little bit. And you know what? God always meets the need. And you don't always understand it, but He's going to take care of it. It's not like, again, I don't want to say this wrong, but too many Christians are say, they get, let's say they get cancer, okay? I don't know if anybody has cancer in here. I don't know of anybody right now, okay? But someone gets cancer and they go, oh, but God knows everything. And well, cancer is something that happens to a lot of people. Did God cause it? No. Cancer is a cause of sin in the Garden of Eden. And so how are we going to handle it? Well, I don't know. The doctors might help. One lady I know, Mr. E's wife had cancer for a long time. She went more the natural route. She's alive today because making the right decision that way. But I'm just saying, it's not Earl or Amy's fault that they got cancer. But you know what? God's met the need for them because they trusted God. And the times we don't trust God, we don't have the success or the feeling of fulfillment, that God's going to meet the need. We're worried and tense and stressed out beyond measure, and strokes come, and we say, well, it's all God's fault. No, we didn't respond right. We didn't, you know, just respond the right way. God knows everything is going to happen. God didn't give cancer. Now, He can. And He can cause an accident, I guess. Allow Satan to do that. But most accidents aren't God's fault. It's because you fell asleep or weren't paying attention, or someone lost something off their wheel and it broke your car. But I'm saying God can still work that out for good if we're trusting Him and dependent upon Him. So quit the magical God and say God can do miracles, but at the same time He expects us to follow Him and trust Him and have that sense of dependence upon Him. And your identity is much stronger because it's not based on what you, y'all, I don't really know what you think about me sometimes, okay? I don't want you to elevate me somewhere I'm not supposed to be, and I surely don't like to, when you frown at me or something, okay? But you know what? I really don't care that much what you think about me, and you shouldn't care what I think about you. You should think what God thinks about you, because that's the difference in having a successful life. And that's not, we haven't faced serious illness in my family. You know, if that comes, will I still have this? I hope so. Every area of my life, I've tried to do that. And if just wait, it's right around the corner. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, my brother died the other day. There's nothing I could do about it. I look at how he responded to life, and it was without God. And I know how I respond things with God. I'd much rather be on my side and knowing that God's going to take care of things, and He always has. So that's an awesome thing. So, when it comes to, I don't know where you stand with your identity, whether you're happy with yourself or not, but it's all most of what you think, not what reality is, unless you're already walking with God and your focus is on Him and He gives us this fulfillment and desire that everything's going to be okay. But I'm not stupid either. That means I need to make sure what my kids are reading, what my kids are doing. You know, all those things are so important that God expects us to keep close tabs with Him. When you sin, you take care of it right away. And you try not to sin again. But, you know, you're probably going to fail, but it doesn't matter. God's going to help you if you trust in Him, and it's going to work out all right. Now, I can say that with a testimony. I can say that with experience. I can say that from God's Word. But it's up to you to make that choice. If you're discouraged tonight, there's no reason for it. You might have a physical imbalance, and doctors can help with that. A doctor's good, but it might also be sin and things. There's all kinds of things. We just have to kind of, wait a minute. I'm not going to panic. Okay, honey? I'm just going to step out by faith and say, okay, God, now show me what I need to know. And you know what? It makes sense. And it's scriptural. And I'm not dependent upon me. I could care less what other people think. I'm thinking about what God thinks. And then I care what other people think. Okay? Because what your friends and your family and everybody thinks is important. But number one, they need to know that you're following God. And that's okay. My brother, God rest his soul. I hope he's saved. Hope he went to heaven. But my brother said, you're the one in my family that I can look to and know that you're still doing the same thing you did when you were a teenager. And you follow God all your life. But you believe you followed. And can't say that about most of my relatives, but I can say that about you. And I just went, praise the Lord. Because that's what I want, most importantly. I want to make sure that I'm following God. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, I feel like I've talked so fast and nobody's understood me. But then I look at faces and I think, we got the point. We see the scripture. We're made in your image. And Lord, you want us to be just like you. And God, you will provide for us. Your Holy Spirit will guide us and help us through it. No matter what the difficulty is, that everything will work out. We all face different tests and we have burdens to carry. And sometimes we need others to help us carry our burdens. And those scriptures are so clear. But Lord, tonight it comes down to us trusting you and saying, God, I've carried this false identity too long, and I need to trust in you and depend on you and what you say. And God, help tonight that if there's be some here that are carrying wrong ideas and feeding that monster and just trying to live up to what everybody thinks, it just doesn't work. And God, I pray that they might turn to you and say, God, we need your help, and go to pastor and others that can help us from the scripture, and we can rest in that. And God, you said you would take care of things there. And I pray that you'll give us that ability. We pray in Jesus' name.